Well, when the Bible makes this statement that God so loves the world, He gave it all. Let me say that again. Maybe I'll get it over here. God gave it all. God gave it all to you. God doesn't love you. He is love to you. Because God doesn't love, He is love. It's not an attribute that He has. It's who He is. And His love is not something, well, I love you when you do right or I love you when you do wrong. It's come into my presence and let me love you. Because in my presence, that's all you'll get. Isn't that awesome? It's so good. It's so good. He is so incredibly kind, so incredibly patient. Amen? He's so incredibly for us. God wants you to know He's not the one against you today. Hallelujah. He's for you. You say, I'm not enough. Well, actually you are. Because you're in Him and He's enough. Amen. My holiness doesn't come because I'm holy. My holiness comes because I'm with Him. And He's my holiness. I'm not right with God because I'm all of that. I'm right with God because He's all that. Are you with me? Hallelujah. If you've got your Bibles today, turn to John chapter 4. I get up every morning and read the Word, and I've been doing it for a couple of years now over with my phone, you know, because it's so convenient and it's. But I just decided that I needed to get back to a place where I could have it on a page, right? Because I know there are ways to mark it in the electronics and all of that, but there's something about highlighting a page in your Bible. Now, I'm not telling you that you all have to bring Bibles to church. That's not what I'm saying. But there is something about having your own Bible. When I first got saved, of course, we didn't have any electronics, so everybody had their Bible, right? You'd see people walking into church, and they'd have a Bible and a notebook and whatever, but that's my Bible, and I could always tell my Bible because it was different than your Bible, even though it might be the same edition, because mine was tore up over here and had dog ears over here. And here's the thing. I still have the Bible that I went to Bible school with. It's on my desk at the office. It's an old King James Version, and actually some of the pages are missing. But when I want to find a verse, I can find it in that Bible. Because that's my Bible. I don't have a relationship with the book, but I do have a relationship with the Word in the book. Isn't that awesome? John Osteen used to say, "This is my Bible. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have." Come on. Come on. It's the ever-living, ever-present Word of God. I've said this before, but it really is true. How many like the presence of God? Well, every time you open this book, you're in it. Because in John chapter 1, He said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And His name is Jesus." Come on, is that good? That's so good. Hallelujah. The last couple of weeks we've been doing a series on worship. You were created to worship. You need worship. Hallelujah. And let's read these verses and then I'll make a few comments. Actually, I'll make a lot of comments, but you know me. Verse 22 says, "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." And He's about to change everything. I said He's just right in this next verse. He's about to change everything. Because worship up to that point meant that if you really wanted to worship, you had to worship toward Jerusalem. And several times a year you had to go back to Jerusalem and you had to sacrifice at Jerusalem. But things are about to change and they're changing right now. He said, but now the hour is coming and now is. Everybody say now. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Now watch this. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must, everybody say must, worship Him in spirit and truth. That means you have to. That means there's no options. That means there's no other way. I must worship Him in spirit and truth. And the reason, and we've said this before, I'm repeating a little bit, but the reason that we said that we now can worship Him in spirit is because our spirits have been made new. We have been made holy. We have been made righteous. Up to that point, there was no righteous human being because of sin that dwelt in them. Right? And even if they had their sins forgiven or atoned for once a year at the Day of Atonement, the next day probably, they did something silly. Right? And then they had to wait until they could sacrifice again. But the Bible says, and the book of Hebrews is so beautifully poetic and picturesque, because it says the true sacrifice, once and for all, one time went to the cross and died in our place. And He ever lives to make intercession for us at the right hand of God. What does that mean? He's representing you right now. If you're born again, He's representing you right now before the Father in Jesus' name. Glory to God. And that word intercede, and this is not my notes at all, but that word intercede, some people go, yeah, see, He's up there praying for you. He's not praying for you. He's already done everything for you. What that means is He's the one that stands between you and God. He's the intercessor, or the one that stands between, that everything that God requires, He's done so that it's extended to you. Right? So when you pray to the Father in Jesus' name, He's right there saying, yep, 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 yep. So we must worship Him. Come on. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He made that possible. The truth part is what we have to constantly seek after. And again, worship doesn't mean singing songs. Worship doesn't mean coming to church. There are millions of people who go to a building and they don't worship God at all. They don't worship God at all. And it's not by your form. It's not if you dance enough, if you lay enough, if you know, you're really loud or you're exuberant. Worship is of the heart. And worship means that I bow before the one who is worthy to be bowed before. Right? And again, in the Hebrew, it means to bow or to lay prostrate before the Lord. In other words, I'm just before you, God. I'm just before you. I remember a time when, and this was just a personal thing. I was a Saturday, and I didn't have anything to do. And I purposed in my heart to go before God. And I'd been praying in the Spirit and talking to God and singing. And then I just laid on my face before Him. It's what we refer to as rug time. I just laid before Him and began to pray in the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God just came onto me. And He spoke some things to me there that I hadn't heard before. And the reason is that I purposed to set my body aside, to quiet my mind. And in the place of worship, He could speak to me. You see, worship in spirit and truth means that He's made you right to worship Him, but you must place yourself in a position where He has access to your heart to tell you the truth. Not my truth, not your truth, it's not relative truth, it's His truth. So if we're going to worship, can we worship Him in church? Absolutely. Can we worship Him with song? Absolutely. But because it's so, I've heard this before, I understand it, I get it. I'm going to get with God, I'm going to put my worship music on. That doesn't mean you're going to worship. Let me say that again. That doesn't mean that you're going to worship. Well, all I do is play this song and this song. And you know, this is the new group and they're anointed and they're great. Awesome. And those words and everything about it might be totally anointed. But unless you're bowing your heart to the Lord in what you're doing, you're not worshiping. You're mostly just being entertained. And God wants us to worship Him. He requires us to worship Him. Why? Because He wants us to be operating at top efficiency. He created us. He knows what... Mary, do you need something? Mary. Listen. We have to come to the place where we understand that worship is not for Him, it's for us. And it puts us in the position for Him to talk to us, for Him to work with us, for Him to take us to a different level. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, you know, bless God, different levels, different devils. I could care less about the devil. Right? Because I've got the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of the universe with me. But my access to Him is through the blood of Jesus in my spirit. But in my soul, in my mind, my will, and my emotions, my access to His presence is in worship. Glory to God. Must worship Him. Must worship Him. If we're going to follow Him, we have no choice but to worship Him. Go to Romans chapter 1. And I think it's easy. You know, how many are living life? And sometimes life is tough. And a lot of times life is very distracting. Right? You know, recently we've moved into our new home that we just love, that we built, and it's just awesome. But I was laying in bed, Renita was out in the front room, and all of a sudden I heard this, and I thought it was coming from either outside or up on the roof. And I'm waiting for a little bit longer, and oh no. The squirrels are back. The squirrels are back. Right? And then I thought, there's a thump in the... Renita was throwing the silly pig for Buttercup. I found out afterwards, right? But here's the point. We can be so easily distracted by noise that has nothing to do with the situation that we're in. But worship gets us to the place where we shut that noise off and bow before Him. Look at verse 17 of Romans chapter 1. Is for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Who's the just? Anybody that's been justified. Right? And if you've been justified by the blood of Jesus, you're the just. And we live by faith. I believe God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. So on one hand, listen, quit worrying about what's going on in the world. God's going to deal with it. He will deal with it. Right? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. See, we need to be at the place where we're making sure that we're worshiping the Creator and not the creation. Are you with me? It's like, and one of the, there's so many things. Anything that you put above God is an idol. Period. Period. Anything that you put above God, you put in a place. And how do you know that you put Him above God? Because that's where your time goes. That's where your attention goes. That's where everything goes. Now, what I'm about to say is not to put anybody under condemnation, but what are you most excited about? I like to golf. I like sports. There's some in here that love to fish. But if that's all that we ever talk about, I love my family. I love my grandkids. My grandson was playing the drums today. That's awesome. But the moment that I talk more about Him, especially to myself, than I do of God, then I'm putting Him above God. Can't be done. Shouldn't be done. Why? Because we've traded what God deserves and given it to somebody else. Right? True worship, and we all have to come to that. I think every morning you have to make a decision to worship God. And you should every morning make that decision to worship God. And watch this. You need to give God your undivided attention. We live in a day and age, and for some of us who are more mature than others, that's most of us in here, but that are more mature than others, I remember when a people went to a restaurant and talked to each other. Have you ever been in a conversation and you're telling somebody, and it might be just, you know, general information, you're just talking, and all of a sudden somebody picks up their phone because they get an alert, and you go, well, I'm listening, I just need to make sure, see what this is. Well, what you're saying is that alert is more important than me. Right? I mean, again, not putting condemnation, I'm just putting clarification. If we're going to worship God, then we have to put everything else aside. Okay? We have to put everything else aside and say, God, I'm going to worship You. This time, this moment, I'm going to worship You, and I'm going to let everything else go. You know, your problems will still be here when you leave. Right? I mean, God can work on them, but what I'm saying is, you know, if you probably got a mortgage payment that's due next week, it'll probably still be due. So why don't you leave that out there when you come into worship and just put your... And He'll help you get that mortgage bill paid. Right? Come on. Hallelujah. But again, worship means to bow down. To bow down. Now I want to take you somewhere. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. And I hadn't seen this before, but when I did, it just helped me and changed me a little bit. Still changing me. In Proverbs chapter 1, now I don't know about you, but this is a habit. I don't do it every day in my reading, but most days I'll read a chapter out of Proverbs. Because, you know, it's 31 Proverbs, 31 days of the month for most of the months. And so whatever day it is, that's the proverb I read. It's not too difficult. And if I miss the fourth and it's the fifth, I just read the fifth. I'm not in bondage to it, but I've been reading that for a long time. And there's so much wisdom in here, right? There's so much things that come down. I'll give you a couple, and you can just decide how you want to use them. In the Proverbs, it says to argue with a fool is to become one. Right? All right, I won't go. Watch this, verse 7. Proverbs number 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I want to just define the fear of the Lord as worship. The fear of the Lord is true worship. Because fear here means awe, it means reverence, it means respect, and I think that you can equate it to worship. It says here that the fear of the Lord is the beginning, the starting place, the foundation of everything that you need to know. Worship is the starting point. But if you don't get the starting point right, everything else is going to be tough. I have a pastor friend, and he was going to build an addition to his house, and his son-in-law had worked some construction. I'll help you. Great. Awesome. So they get out to do the foundation. And he had all the rebar and had the forms and had it all set up. But he didn't get the foundation square. It was all there, and if you just looked at it, boy, it looks great. But did you know that they fought that for the rest of the building? Because the foundation was not square. We'll fight our lives, we'll fight everything else if we don't have this as the foundation. That the fear of the Lord or the worship of the Lord is the beginning, is the foundation for everything. Hallelujah. You know, God will do great things for those who fear Him. And do you fear, watch this, and man, I'll just be honest with you, I struggle with this sometimes. Where the fear of man becomes greater to me than the fear of God. So when that happens, I'm putting man's opinion and man's, his acceptance and all of that above God's acceptance for me. And that's the time that I've just made them an idol and I stopped worshiping God. Because you can't worship God unless you put Him first. This is awesome because it readjusts my thinking and just goes, you know, Lord, whatever You want, I'll do. And I'm going to get into Your presence. And Lord, even if I don't want to do what You want me to do, even if I know I'm not going to like what You want me to do, or even if it seems unpleasant for me to do what You, I'm going to do it anyway because I want to worship You. And the fear of the Lord is, I'll just say it this way, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of straightening your mess out. My mess out, right? I mean, it's the answer. It's the beginning of the answer. Like, we want to go to step five and step six, and well, maybe just to the end where we get a little prayer on our head and everything is fixed. But God said, no. Right here, if you don't get this right, even if I do it here, you'll be back next week because you don't have this right. Glory to God. Glory, back to a foundation story. I met many of the Kitsap County building inspectors over the last year, right? And this one lady was out and she was talking to me, and it was the pre-pouring of the concrete, so we had the rebar in there and everything. And she said, she said she was on a job not too long ago where they had the pictures and everything of the rebar in there, but the inspector hadn't been there to inspect the rebar all around, and they poured the foundation. But because the inspector could not certify everything in that rebar, they made them tear out all of that concrete and start over. Not good. Not good, right? So I'd rather have the Lord inspect my foundation so that I can go forward with Him. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know, this great debate in our day about grace, and I believe in grace. I think grace is amazing. You know, but if you think grace is a license to do whatever you want to, you've missed the whole point, right? In fact, that's just stupid, right? If God's got the way for you to go and what He wants you to do, and you decide, well, you know, I'm in grace, so God's going to love me. I'm going to heaven whether I sin or not, or whether I do this or that or not, or whatever it is, you go, no. Because of grace and because of faith in grace. Faith means I believe in God and everything that He says. Because that He has given that gift to me, I'll do whatever He wants. Because He deserves my worship. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, that you may fear the Lord your God, worship, to keep all His statutes and commandments, which I command you, that your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. That you may fear the Lord to keep all of His statutes. If you're not motivated by the fear of the Lord or true worship, then keeping His commandments will be optional. Husbands, love, I don't want to today. I don't want to today. Don't worry, she'll hear this later. I don't want to today. Well, I don't have that option. If I'm going to worship, then loving my wife as Christ loved the church is not an option. But what if she doesn't act right? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't make that prerequisite when we came for us? Are you with me? So it's like the fear of the Lord. It's the fear of the Lord that's my motivation to do what He wants me to do. Amen. How many have ever had trouble with forgiveness? Right, forgiveness is tough. Why? Because you can forgive somebody in the moment. You go, oh yes, God, I just release them. I forgive them. I just release them to you. And then you see them. Or you see them on Facebook. Or you see them. Oh, now, the decision to forgive them was made. But you have to enforce that decision every time the thought comes up. Right? right? And so in the things of God and what He asks us to do, it's like, Lord, my decision is made up because I worship You. My decision is, listen, my accountant said that there's some gray areas here so I can cheat on my taxes and get a little bit more money. But in your worship, the Spirit of God is grieved and you know it. You go, oh, no. That $100,000, $2,000, $10,000 is not worth 1 second of my worship. The fear of the Lord puts us in a place where we're motivated to do what He wants us to do. True worship. Go to chapter 8. I just want to enforce this a little bit in your thinking. So what is my objective? It's to get us all to the place where we get back to our foundational love for Jesus displayed in our worship of God. That's a lofty goal, but I think it's a worthy one. Verse 6 says, chapter 8, verse 6, therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in His ways and to fear Him, to worship Him. How many times have you seen in the Old Testament where they're doing all the sacrifices and they're doing all of this and they're just, you know, they think they're right, and because I'm a Jew, I'm an Israelite. And your timing is impeccable, honey, because I just talked about you a minute ago. But anyway, it's you know, they're doing everything right. They're doing all the rituals. And God says, your sacrifices are a stench in my nostrils. Because your heart's not where it needs to be. Right? I want my heart to be where He wants it to be. I want to show mercy to those He wants me to show mercy to. I want to be wise. I want to do what He wants me to do. But I have to check my motivations through worship. Let me say that again. I have to check my motivations for everything that I'm doing through worship. You know, now, you might find this hard to believe, but I'm right most of the time. In my sight, right? No. I'm right most of the time in my sight. Right? Right? Of course I'm right. They're wrong, I'm right. Come on. But I've been in the presence of God, seeking God, and it seemed like His presence wasn't hard to find because my heart was not right. I've seen the presence of God. I've felt the presence of God. I desire the presence of God. And it can only come through true worship. Chapter 10. Hallelujah. And verse 12 says this, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. They asked Jesus, what are the two greatest commandments? And He said, the first one is that they love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That means there's nothing left over. Nothing left over. But God, that's not fair. Get back on your face and worship Him. He's got your back. He'll take care of you, but are you truly worshiping Him? You know, we sang some songs this morning. They're just tremendous. And the words are awesome, right? But it's not worship until it's coming out of our hearts with a commitment to do what they're saying. Lord, I worship and I bow down and I kneel before the Lord, my God, my Maker. I submit myself to You for correction and direction. And But it's so cool because that's the place where He just wants to bless you. Hallelujah. I'm going to skip a couple of these, but go to Psalm chapter 33. Worship. Worship. You see, if you'll worship first, everything else will take care of itself. How many know that God knows what's ahead of you? He knows what's behind you. Right? I told this story yesterday, but I think it bears repeating here. Sometimes we're just looking at the view right in front of us. It was during the Second World War, and there was a platoon that was out, and they had to go around this hill to get to an objective on the other side. And so they came from the south, and they needed to get to the north. And their orders were, watch this, that they were to go on the west side of the hill to get around to the other side. But the west side of this hill was full of brush and full of stuff, and it was hard sled, and it took them hours and hours and hours to get around that hill. And they knew, because they'd seen the hill before, they'd been around it before, they knew on the other side, on the east side, there was a road that would have got them there really quickly. And so they're not just mad at their situation. They're going, those idiots that are in front of us, whoever gave us this order is an idiot. But what they didn't know is that there was a higher hill that the general was looking down from his post onto that hill, right? And on the west side of the hill, on the east side of the hill, there was an ambush that if they would have taken that road, they would have all been killed. See, sometimes I think God is the general up on the hill looking at our lives, and if we'll just do what He says, even when it doesn't make sense, we'll get to the place where we need to be in a safe manner. Come on. I worship You, Lord. I worship You. Psalm 33. Starting verse 8, it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." Come on, who's that? That's everybody, but who's doing it? I choose to. I don't get it right all the time, but I get up every day. That's got to be our decision. I'm going to worship You. I'm going to walk in Your way. Look at verse 18. "Behold, the eye of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." See, worship will protect you. True worship will provide for you. True worship will get you through what you're going through. But the minute that you put your attention back on yourself and how bad you have it and all of those things, you've taken God off of His place and you put yourself above that, and then He's not at the place where He can say, don't go that way, go this way, because this way is the way that I paid for you so that you can have victory when you're done. Worship puts us in a place of victory. See, there are verses, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding." What don't you get about that? Worship will put you in that place 100% of the time. And when you're not in that place, you'll repent and go back to it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own noodle. Quit trying to figure out everything on your own. Instead of trying to figure it out, get in His presence by worshiping Him. Lord, I give this to You. I don't understand it. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. Even the fact that I'm here, it doesn't make sense to me. But I'm going to yield to You and I'm going to worship You no matter what. I'm telling you, your answer is on the way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not under your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, worship Him, and He'll direct your path. Another version says, He'll make your path straight. He's got a path for your deliverance. He's got a path for your freedom. He's got a path for your joy. He's got a path for your peace. He's got a path, but you got to follow Him and you have to trust Him, and trust Him is worship Him. Hallelujah. Go back to Proverbs chapter 1. Y'all getting anything this morning? Hallelujah. I've said this before, and I have the mic so I can say it again. Jesus could walk in the room and preach the Sermon on the Mount to you, and it do you absolutely no good. Absolutely no good. Why? Because you didn't put worship with the Word. What do I mean? I mean this. It's one thing to hear it. It's a whole different thing to do it. There were multitudes that He spoke the Sermon on the Mount to. But how many were there at the cross? The ones who are truly worshiping Him. Proverbs chapter 1. And verse 29. Because they hated knowledge, they did not choose to fear the Lord. Lord, I hear what you're saying, but I don't like what you're saying. Right? I'm probably the only one in here that's ever been in that condition before. Right? Bless them that despitefully use you. Come on, God. You don't know them. Really? Really? Yeah, He knows them. But fear will say, Lord, I'm going to bless them anyway. I remember a minister, and there were other ministers that were really talking bad, and one of them, you know, just telling him what a heretic he was and blah, 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 and just trying to really destroy his ministry. And he got into worshiping God and said, God, what are you going to do about this? And God spoke to him and said, what are you going to do about it? What do you mean? And the Lord said, send him an offering. In fact, send him a big offering. Send him an offering that hurts. What are you going to do with that? You got to send him the offering. But watch this. You have to send it with no strings attached. In other words, I can't send the offering and then expect a phone call the next day of this person telling me how wonderful I am. It has nothing to do with anything. But that offering can be tied to your heart and your freedom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And verse 6 says, listen, for I will speak of excellent things. I must have got that right. Let's see. That's not the right verse. All right, go to 10, chapter 10. Glory to God. Listen to this. Verse 12 says this, Proverbs. I know what I did wrong. Go back to chapter 8. I was reading in the wrong place in my notes. I got it now. Proverbs chapter 8. And verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. In who? Right? Right? It's easy to hate evil in others, but do we hate evil in us? Right? It's so easy. Lord, look at them people. Boy, God, look at them. You know, look at what they're doing. Look at that church. You know, that church doesn't even blah, 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 blah. Right? But no. Watch this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way. And the perverse mouth I hate. Sounds like gossip to me. Woo! I'm stepping on toes. It's okay. You'll get better. Look at chapter 14. 14th Proverb, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord, in true worship of the Lord, there's strong confidence. And His children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Again, worship and true worship is the cocoon that believers are supposed to live in. And I worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. I worship You, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give You praise, for You are my righteousness. I worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. Hallelujah. Isaiah, can you stand a few more? Isaiah chapter 8. How many know that our lives don't always go the way we plan for them to go? But worship will keep our eyes on the right place when things are wrong. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 13 says, "The Lord of hosts, Him you shall hallow. Let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread." That's an incredible verse. The Lord of hosts. That's kind of blind to us. But did you know what the Lord of hosts is? One of His names in the Hebrew. But the Lord of hosts means the Lord of every angelic and heavenly creature that's in the universe. And God wants to put them at your disposal. And He will if you live a life of worship. All right, I've got to quit. I'm over, actually. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we'll quit with this. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 9. Thank You, Lord. The potential for many in this room is for dramatic change in your life this morning. Dramatic change. God change. God kind of miracle working change. If we'll submit to this, deliverance will come. Provision will come. Answers will come. I know it. Through the Word, but also in my spirit. Verse 31 of chapter 9 of Acts says this. It says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria had peace and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. Come on. You see, the result of true worship is that God comes in. And when God comes in, He brings peace. He brings joy. He brings the answers. He brings everything that you have need of. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning, and I thank You for the anointing that's on Your Word, and I give You all the glory and the honor. But right now, in my heart and my prayer for everybody that's in the room and watching online, that in our hearts we'll just submit ourselves to You again. We'll come back down to our foundation, and that is our complete allegiance to You. That You're the boss, You're in charge, You're the one who we will obey. So if you're here in the room or if you're watching online, I just pray that You would give God a place in your heart so that He could direct you on what you're supposed to do in light of what you've heard. Father, I thank You for touching everyone in here. I know by my spirit, Lord, that You're going to deliver some people in here, that there's healing for people in here, that direction for people in here. And Lord, I thank You that You're always good. You're always for us. And I ask You to touch them, to be with them in Jesus' name. Amen. If I could have the worship team come up. Come on, we're going to worship Him together. We're going to worship Him together. Let's not get into many distractions right now, but if God is dealing with you about something, and I mean really strongly this morning, and I know that He is with several of you, you have an opportunity not to come before me, but as an act of your faith, just come before God and just surrender everything to Him and say, Lord, I'm coming back, really, I'm coming back to that place of worship in my heart where You're Lord of everything, and if it costs me everything, God, so be it. If that's you, I want you to come forward and just dedicate yourself new to God. If you're watching online, just give it all to Jesus.